Summer's barely halfway over, and terror plots have unfolded on four continents. Yesterday, at least 80 people in Kabul were killed in twin suicide bombings. And this morning, a bomb killed at least a dozen people in a residential neighborhood of Baghdad. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly has been trying to make sense of the carnage. So she started working through her Rolodex, asking counterterrorism experts what lessons they're learning.
From Orlando to Istanbul to Baghdad to Nice and beyond, perhaps the most startling things about this summer's attacks are how fast they're coming and how difficult they are to detect and stop. Bruce Riedel, a former CIA counterterrorism official now at the Brookings Institution, says his takeaway on the state of global jihad is this.
It is attracting sufficient recruits to be able to stage almost daily acts of horror around the planet.
And Riedel says the almost daily attacks are calculated, part of a long-term strategy to create the impression of a world in chaos.
In a world that's ripe for their argument that jihad is the solution to the problems of the Muslim world.
Asked whether any of this summer's attacks represent a game changer, Riedel and others point to France. The man who rented a truck plowed it into a crowd on the boardwalk in Nice and killed 84 people. Patrick Skinner, with national security consultants the Soufan Group, says the Nice attack was a game changer because of its simplicity, its crudeness. Law enforcement and intelligence officers are trained to spot unusual travel, communications, unusual purchases.
If you buy a lot of fertilizer, someone might pay attention. Well, this wasn't a truck bomb. It was a truck. It's not even under the radar. It's invisible.
Skinner, who served as a CIA case officer in the Middle East, says it's almost enough to make you miss the days after 9/11, when he and others at Langley were hunting down Al-Qaeda, a terror group they could map.
We had org charts. You know, we literally had org charts of, hey, the number three in Al-Qaeda. Well, I mean, there is no org chart for everybody on the internet.
And that is the challenge posed today by ISIS, that through social media, they are recruiting around the clock. In a conference call with reporters a few days ago, Brett McGurk talked about the importance of contesting ISIS messaging in cyberspace. McGurk is the White House point person on ISIS. He says the U.S. strategy is to fight in three dimensions. They are defeating the eight or so ISIS affiliate groups, such as the one in Libya. Second, targeting fighter and propaganda networks. And number one, targeting the core in Iraq and Syria.
Shrinking and basically working to eliminate this phony caliphate. So in the core in Iraq and Syria, working to take back territory, that's a military focus.
And it is working, McGurk says. ISIS has lost almost half the territory it once held in Iraq, 20% of its ground in Syria. He and others in the Obama administration argue this is linked to the onslaught of attacks abroad, that battlefield setbacks are driving ISIS to prove it's still relevant and successful. Matt Olson buys this argument to a point. Until 2014, Olson was director of the National Counterterrorism Center.
We could completely defeat ISIS militarily, and we could still have attacks like we have seen in Orlando or Nice.
Help me see that in a way that's not terribly depressing.
Right. Well, we've had terrorism forever, right? So over time, we have to make it so that we're able to really prevent people from being radicalized. And that's what we're not doing now.
Preventing people from being radicalized in the first place. That's a key focus. It's also a long-term proposition. And it exposes an uncomfortable truth about the limits of counterterrorism. The White House's McGurk concedes, quote, "Nobody can say these attacks are going to stop. Unfortunately, I think we're going to see more." Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.